This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every week. This is episode 207. This week, we are discussing the latest movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. Our From the Outside In topic this week is our horror movie movie survival guide, the do's and don'ts of horror movies. We'll explain when we get there. We're also going to talk about upcoming releases and spoiler-free reviews of Crimson Peak and Bridge of Spies. Be sure to get the whole on the go with our Apple or Android apps. Just look for The Hollywood Outsider in your app store of choice, or find us on iTunes where reviews are appreciated, TuneIn Radio, or whatever you use. And please share the show with your friends. It really helps the show. We love it. Share. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
What is going on, Aaron? How are you doing this evening?
I am, wow, doing pretty good, NPR. How are you? Brian Williams?
Hey, what's going on, ladies?
We are living the dream, and joining us direct from, I assume, Alderaan is Justin McCumber.
I'm at Starkiller Base. Thank you very much.
Are you, like, on a high right now, like a Star Wars high?
I am until Dingleberry is online, start talking dumb shit, and then then I got to correct fools.
I hate Dingleberries.
Hide them. Usually if I just block them, my quan goes up.
Have you guys ever, I was talking to some friends, I've never seen so many people talking about the third trailer released for anything. For anything. It's insane. Insane. It's like they forgot the prequels exist.
We're trying to.
Well, I mean, they've got the fact that the Star Trek movies did pretty well with J.J. Abrams, and they were pretty good. Although some Star Trek fans are still bitter about it, but
you mean the Star Wars fans with Khan and Spock and Kirk, because that's kind of what they were.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that they're people like some of us were let down with the prequels, but there's a positive emotion going about this film. There's a lot of good things going for it that weren't necessarily going for the prequels, even though some of us like them more than others.
I disagree with you on that. I think the when the first trailer came for the episode 1 Phantom Menace, I would say that it was about the same, and people were out of their minds.
Well, but remember, this was episode 1. We had yet to have Lucas's foot shoved up our butts. You know, you can forgive a certain amount of, oh, how would you want to put it, of hope.
How do you want to put it? Because I don't want to bring the ire of Lucasites.
I mean, there's a certain amount of hope that first trailer gave people. I mean, I know when Darth Maul was revealed and that double-ended lightsaber activated, It was like every nerdy, quivery bit of me was quivering extra.
It was like a new hope.
I was thinking that too, Brian. Yay, high five.
Way to go for that low-hanging fruit. That's awesome.
Well, you should have picked up on it sooner then, shouldn't you?
I gave you plenty of time.
But I think, well, I just figured it was so low-hanging, there was no need to even...
Don't be sad that you didn't drop it. Don't be sad on yourself.
Don't break your elitist BS on us. Come on now.
But I would hazard to guess that the anticipation for episodes 2 and 3 never reached the same fever pitch that the first one got. And the first one received it mainly because we didn't know any better.
He hadn't reminded us. Oh, it's been a while. Crap.
It has been a while since... New Star Wars had been in the theaters, and all of a sudden here it was. And, you know, you can't be angry at someone for being so hopeful and optimistic. But once you got that first foot to the balls, yeah, it kind of went down. But with these new movies, it looks like Abrams is making all the right moves that Lucas didn't. And it looks like it's going to be hopefully an amazing film. You know, no matter how much the prequel sucked, they will not and have not diminished my anticipation for more Star Wars.
Yeah, anytime you get Jar Jar'd in the mommy daddy button, it kind of ruins you for the next couple movies.
Well, Jar-Jard. One of the things, and I don't want to talk specifically about the trailer because I know Aaron has shied away from it.
I will not watch it. Nope. So just don't tell me anything that's in it because I don't want
to. I'm not going to, but one of the things that I love about the trailer that they showed last night or the other night is that they gave us so much eye candy without giving away what's going on in the story. We still have no idea what's going on. Well, we have an inkling, but there's so many questions that leave me wanting to see this movie that much more but I get just a taste. And it's just, it was just such a really well done, put together trailer.
Except the entire internet has theories now. I mean, everywhere I go, every news site I follow, I was like, well, we got a theory about this and that, about a certain character and that character. And I'm not going to say anything.
But that's awesome.
That's so not, not if you're trying to avoid everything. It's not.
For me, the new poster probably has the most spoilerific element I've come across yet. And I wish I hadn't seen it.
Well, don't tell me, because I don't know if I know what it is, and I don't want to take a chance of knowing if I don't. So
you didn't even look at the poster?
I glanced over it. It looks cool. I mean, it looks like every other Star Wars poster. It doesn't look anything.
Well, just don't glance at it again. And if you do, don't glance in the upper right corner.
I thought it was really busy. I'm like, I was looking for a kitchen sink at one point. But the internet is great. I have seen so much excitement over this movie. It's just been fantastic.
They broke the internet at one point on Monday night. And Fandango just stopped working and people couldn't buy their tickets. It's just, I don't remember that happening in a really long time.
Now, do we all have our opening night tickets? Because we will be doing a spoiler cast of this movie.
Oh, will we?
I would like to not have to wait a week to freaking do that.
I would do it that night if you guys are willing.
That seems, that'll be very late. Maybe not that night. I could do it like the next night.
Yeah, yeah, that seems a bit ambitious.
Remember, Brian's like, he's an hour ahead, so he's like, you know, that's cool for you bitches, but
here I'm going to sit this one out.
There's coyotes.
Do we all have opening night tickets?
I do, Thursday, 7 o'clock.
I don't have them, but I'll get them.
All right, so I've got Thursday, here. I've got Friday, I've got Sunday, so I'm pretty well covered for that weekend.
I'm picturing Aaron doing a Sheldon Cooper in the theater, walking around finding seats and doing sound tests in different areas, trying to find the best,
the optimal, spot. Yeah, optimal yeah. spot.
Up, oh, up.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. We will do a spoiler cast. We can do it like the night after. That's fine. Now Netflix is in talks to bring back Gilmore Girls now for a 4-episode stint. I'm curious if you guys think that they are becoming like the Make-A-Wish Foundation for geeks at this point.
The funny way to look at it.
It's true. I mean, they keep reviving series. I mean, they save Longmire. Well, they save a ton of them.
They seem to have a kind of a good pulse on what people really miss.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's brilliant. I'm not a big fan. I'm not a fan of Gilmore Girls. I've never watched it. So there's that. But I do know that the people that did watch it really miss it. Mm-hmm. So they're really in tune with what's out there, what's available, what's still fresh enough that we could bring, or new enough that we could still bring some of the old cast, if not the complete old cast, into the picture and go whatever direction they decide to go in. So I think it's smart.
Where's Firefly?
I think it's great. Gilmore Girls is a show that I thoroughly enjoyed, so getting a little more of that will be nice. And it is nice that there's a company out there that, you know, seems to want to give people what they want, not just put out a tested product that will hopefully earn them the most money. I think Netflix hopefully will find that they can do both. By giving people what they want, they make that money. So we'll see. But I think we all know, but we're really hoping they'll eventually be able to bring back and
Night Court.
Happen.
Night Court.
Yes, exactly. Night Court.
Exactly.
Jericho.
I would.
Bull needs to come back from his planet and resume his duties.
I would watch a new Night Court, and I would watch a new Jericho in a heartbeat. Skeet Ulrich is free.
Come we on. Don't need to waste time with that shit.
You will shut your whore mouth. I honestly, I think it's great. If people get time, go on Twitter, because Twitter is a fun place. And just follow the @Netflix and see what people tweet them, because everybody wants every show they've ever heard of saved now. Everything. They are tweeting the most just asinine shows. Defiance just got canceled. They're already going to Netflix. Please save Defiance, which I'm not saying that's an asinine show. I've never actually seen it. And just anything that comes up. Battlestar Galactica. I saw somebody tweeting them. Bring that back.
BJ and the Bear.
Oh, I'd watch it. I would.
But you know they're recording all that information. Even if they get the weird asinine ones like you're talking about, they're keeping track of all that. So I would not say it's like a waste of time for people that really want something.
No, I don't
think
it's a
waste of time. Somebody at Netflix has an Excel spreadsheet, and they're updating it.
Yep. Night Court. We got 100 tweets from this Aaron guy for Night Court. What's that about? Let's make that happen. Harry Anderson, is he still free?
I'm just saying, you know, Nathan Fillion, some Weight Watchers, and then let's get back to Firefly. That's all I'm saying. It'll never happen.
Some Weight Watchers. I think he needs to do some elliptical.
Little Jenny Craig.
Little elliptical.
Is it going to be a Kickstarter to get him a treadmill?
The Fillion Fit Kickstarter. Fit Fillion or whatever.
Fit Fillion. Hashtag Fit Fillion. Get that going. Right. All right, going to movie and TV news. It's been really light because everything has been Star Wars Back to the Future the last couple of weeks. So Jerry Bruckheimer has picked up the rights for The Cruelty, a book that centers around a daughter searching for her kidnapped father, Alan Taken, reversed. Brian, is this something you want to see? Like reverse version of Taken?
I mean, yeah, Taken, that might be a stretch. So let me just lay out the actual synopsis for you. A story revolves around a 17-year-old girl who sets off across the dark underbelly of Europe to rescue her father, a kidnapped diplomat. She plunges into a brutal world of arms smuggling and human trafficking as she journeys from the slums of Paris to the nightclubs of Berlin to finally face off against the most feared crime family in Prague. So, yeah, you're pretty much right. That's just taken.
I was waiting because I'm sitting there going, well, I did read it, Brian. I know exactly what it says. Then you got me.
So what I want to know how this meeting went whenever somebody approached Jerry Bruckheimer with this, because I'm sure, you know, with all due respect to him, I'm sure somebody came to him with this pitch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, okay. Listen, it's like think Taken, but the daughter is looking for the father.
What?
Oh.
Tell me more. Tell me more.
Brilliant. Yeah. Europe, you know, Paris, everything. Yeah, yes. It's almost just like it.
Is there a sex trade of some sort?
Yeah. Sex trades. 50, yeah, yeah. 50 there's million. Human trafficking.
Oh, 60, is the father 60 in a sex trade? Is this some kind of dad bod kind of thing Europe is trying to?
I hope so.
Dad bod.
You know what? There's probably some Germans involved. So, yeah, there's probably some of that, you know.
Ooh, that means is there some kind of concentration camp involved? Why do Germans have to be involved?
Hey, Germans are very open-minded sexually. I'm just saying.
Wow. He speaks with authority.
I think it would be awesome if they actually got Liam Neeson to play the father.
Scott. Not if Maggie Grace comes back, because she cannot save anybody. No.
Just like the exact movie with just characters switched roles, or the actors switched roles.
Taken 3 would have been so much better if it was that. I'm telling you, that would have been a better movie than whatever it was.
Well, I feel like that Taken just got insanely popular, way more popular than they expected, and they're trying to recapture that magic since then, mm-hmm. And it didn't happen with Taken 2, and it didn't really happen with Taken 3, so they're just trying. I mean, I know it's not exactly Taken, but it is exactly Taken.
Yeah, they're not going to call it Taken. They're going to call it, like, Not Given.
No, Selena Gomez is the daughter, well, and
with the female lead, maybe they could call it Snatched.
All right, Justin for the win.
Got nothing.
Oh, geez, I cannot believe I just said that.
Welcome back, Justin. We missed you.
Oh, God.
All right, Paranormal Activity is ticking theaters owner off at a higher rate than Justin does and is getting half the theater count because of it. Scott, tell everybody what they're doing.
Well, this is an interesting story because when I first heard about this, my assumption was that it was going to be, you know, the video on demand being released before the actual theatrical release, but that's not the case. What's actually happening is Paramount is trying to tighten the gap between the theatrical release and when you can actually view it at home after the movie hits the theater. So the theaters are claiming that this is going to affect their ticket sales for movies during their theatrical run. My personal thought is that I don't think it's going to affect the ticket sales for this movie, in this case, Paranormal Activity. And I believe there was a second one that, what's that other zombie movie that it's almost like a...
The Scout's Guide to Survival or something?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll affect the ticket sales for those movies, but I think that the theaters are looking at this setting a precedent for the future in that people are going to say, you know what? This is in theater now, but it's going to be on video on demand in 6 or 7 weeks. And I can actually pay for one ticket price. My whole family can sit at home and watch this instead. and the theaters are trying to squelch that as quickly as possible. That's how I look at it. I don't think it'll affect the it'll affect the sales of this as much.
Why do you think that? Because it's still avoiding Halloween. Because when it hits VOD, it'll be after Halloween.
Right, exactly. Because it's a scary movie that doesn't have as much of a market after Halloween is over. People are done with it. So
yeah, and I think if you look at the research, I looked this up. The Paranormal Activity movies have a very strong 2 weeks. Normally, their first weekend is huge, and then the second week drops dramatically, and then third week it's almost gone, just like Saw it was.
Right.
And so your point is exactly on, because you know they're trying to get the money on the back. Like, okay, people that didn't see it, they can see it now, and it makes total sense to me.
And when these things are going to be hitting while the movie's still in the theater, nobody's going to see them. Like you said, they just drop. Mm-hmm. So this whole argument that, oh, well, it's going to cut into our market. Not right now. No, it's not. Down the road, sure, I could possibly see that. But only if people start getting used to that. I still think that people are expecting a 3 or 4 month window before they can actually watch it at home on DVD or even on video on demand.
What about you guys? You guys don't like to leave the house. You on board?
Well, you know, there are some movies that I want to go to a theater and see, and the Paranormal Activity movies are one of them. It's just that kind of experience is more fun when you've got everybody giving that crowd reaction to what's going on. But, you know, it's not the kind of movie that's going to have legs, though. Mm-hmm. A movie like Star Wars could end up being in theaters for months.
Yeah.
Things like Ant-Man. I mean, Ant-Man was in theaters for 2 or 3 months. So when you've got a movie like that, sure, the theaters want as much lead time as they can before home sales start eating into their profits. But Paranormal Activity, I mean, I guarantee you within 2 weeks, 99% of the people who wanted to see it in theaters have seen it. So I think they should be able to go to those home sales much faster on a film that's just not going to have the theatrical legs that other movies are going to have.
Brian, anything to add?
Yeah, what he said.
Between
that's the smartest thing you've ever said.
Yeah, it is. Between Marvel.
Hi.
Wait.
Hi. Hey.
Hey.
That was all my hair and carry. Holy cow.
Between Marvel and Star Wars and Pixar, why Disney doesn't send Justin checks at this point, I will never understand.
Your lips to Disney's ears, man. God. Mickey, gotta start making it rain.
You're playing with your Mickey doll and next to your Ant-Man figure, looking at your Star Wars poster and your Pixar memorabilia. God, you Disney shill. The cool thing about Light News is we can talk about a project in development that sounds really intriguing. I Am Legend reboot writer Gary Graham is adapting Railhead for director Doug Liman, who did Live, Die, Repeat / Edge of Tomorrow / Tom Cruise's future past Groundhog Day movie. So tell us, what is Railhead about, Justin?
Well, I hope the writing on this is a lot better than the premise, because this premise sounds dumber than crap. It's a science fiction novel set in the future. The Great Network is a place of drones and androids, maintenance spiders, and station angels. The place of the thousand gates where sentient trains crisscross the galaxy in a heartbeat. Zen Starling is a petty thief from Thunder City. So a mysterious stranger, Raven, sends Zen and his new friend Nova on a mission to infiltrate the Emperor's train. He jumps at the chance to traverse the Great Network, to cross the galaxy, to meet interesting people, and to steal their stuff. But the Great Network's a dangerous place, and Zen has no idea where his journey will take him. Yep, that is the premise for Railhead, personally. I think it sounds like a bunch of dog crap, but that's just me.
How does it sound dumber than Jupiter Ascending? You love that one.
I like it. I don't need trains traveling through wormholes.
So your issues are trains, really?
To me, it's this whole train aspect of moving through some kind of interdimensional wormhole collection. It just doesn't speak to me.
But moving through some sort of computer interdimension type reality y'all thing.
Get into this? Do you want to get
that,
into this?
That makes a lot of sense.
Do you want to get into this right now?
Matrix battle. Snowpiercer through a wormhole seems a lot more plausible than something along the lines of the Matrix.
Sounds stupid. I'm open to a film version of this as opposed to plotting through a book version of it. But that said, I guess I'm more curious to see how they're going to visually translate all this, because there could be some pretty interesting ways they could take it. If the trains look more like rockets and less like something heading to Hogwarts, maybe then it'll be kind of interesting.
It's okay. It's okay.
They should be going after better novels, like, I don't know, Haywire.
Do you buy your Haterade at the store, or you just brew it at home?
Oh, no, I buy it by the case.
All right, well, you can always go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. If you have any thought or topic ideas, please email them to feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. If you have the app, you can just hit contact and email us that way. Tweet us at @H_Outsider, like us on Facebook/TheHollywoodOutsider, or email, like I said, feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Now we're going to our From the Outside In topic this week, and we wanted to have a little bit of fun. Halloween's coming up. We always kind of do like a Halloween topic. We're themed. We like to theme it every now and again. So this is basically our horror movie survival guide. Yeah, that just happened.
Horror.
We're going to do the do's and don'ts of horror movies. But before we get to that, which is basically like every time we yell at somebody, don't do something, we have to say what the do should be. So we're going to do that. But before we get to it, why the hell does Hollywood still use so many cliches in horror films anyway? I mean, characters are constantly doing dumb things. Do studios just want us yelling at the screen? Does anyone have any? Scott, what do you think? Do you think they just keep putting cliche after cliche after cliche because they know it works, or what?
Well, I think it does work to some extent, but for a couple of reasons. I mean, first off, what's cliche to us is a fresh idea to somebody else. Even though it's been done a million times, not everybody has seen every movie. Not everybody has watched nearly as many movies as critics like us do. There's always going to be some kind of new audience. And the second reason, I think, is that just some cliches just are never going to die. Even though they're done over and over again, we're just always going to remember them. They're just not going to go anywhere.
200 episodes, and Scott finally said us instead of you guys. Good for you. Nice job, Scott.
He's all grown up.
It's like you've been watching movies for years now or something.
Yeah, 4 years.
Wow.
Didn't watch any before that, but...
I know. Brian, what about you? What do you think? Why do they keep doing it to us?
Yeah, they work. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Unfortunately, it works. It's crazy because Scott's exactly right. You know, they
is those of us that are more... Part?
Yeah, that's what's... My mind's blown over that. You've got to create some sort of anticipation, and I don't know, they it's so stupid, and it's and those of us that have seen 100 movies, it's obvious to us, and it's old hat, and it doesn't scare us. But the good side of that is the silver lining, so to speak, is when you do see something that is fresh and different, you know, we're so amped about it, we kind of tell everybody else, you know, hey, you got to see this movie. So I don't know. They work. Even though we're expecting it, I think on some level it still works for some of, you know, for those of us that are more, I guess, in tune or astute or whatever you want to call it. But
in stew, is that what you said?
Astute.
Oh, astute. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because any stew just seems silly.
Well, I think we're kind of jaded altogether anyway, just with horror movies in general. I was talking to Zach from my show last night when we were recording, and he was talking about how there are horror movies that it's hard to even get him to be even a little bit creeped out anymore. Horror movies are almost comical to him at this point because he's seen so many and nothing scares him anymore. Mm-hmm. But then if you go to any of these movies on opening night, there are hundreds of kids in there that have never seen some of this stuff and are screaming their heads off, having a blast because they're getting freaked out.
That's a really good point. And I got to be honest, I've generally thought of it very selfishly. That's actually a very good point, Scott. I've always thought, well, I've seen this 100 times. Don't they realize that I've seen it 100 times? Make a movie I want to see. Me.
The problem is that there's not a whole lot that's going to freak us out anymore.
Well, I haven't been scared in years, but I still love horror movies. I mean, there's mm-hmm. very, very few things that I get unnerved every now and then. Nerve is the word I like to use, because if I can feel my hair tingling on my arms, that to me works. That works a lot more than boo scares and stuff like that. But when characters do dumb things, I don't understand why they still do that. Because
have you looked around?
But real people in those situations, I've been in, like, well, I guess there are a lot of
I don't know. Have you been in a lot of situations where a demon's chasing you through the forest? Because
just like twice.
I mean, I'll be honest, that hasn't yet happened to me, but I'm just one person.
I mean, honestly, in the true scenario, you what? Crap your pants and then you cry and as you look at your soiled underwear, right? That's pretty
and
much
then
what
I die.
And then you die. Yes. Yeah. That's
the thing is that people do dumb stuff all the time in the real world. So why wouldn't they do something stupid?
Yeah, I mean, have you seen some of these videos where there these practical jokes are being played on people where
they scare
the bejesus and I watched one guy throw something out of his window and jumped out the window when something was scared. It's like he grabbed like a toaster or something and just threw it out the window and then just jumped straight out of it.
Absolutely true. I've seen a number of those where they'll rig up an elevator so that it'll stop and the lights go out. And when those lights go out, a little girl crawls in looking like a ghost. They turn the light back on. People scream. They jam themselves into a corner and just start praying to God that this thing goes away. I've seen it where they'll put people on a subway and stop it. Lights go off. Lights come back on. Zombies are coming. They freak out. They do dumb, dumb things. That's just the nature of humanity, unless you go through some kind of SEAL school training where you get your fear under control. People lose their minds, and I'm sure that if I were walking down a corridor in a hotel and all of a sudden I saw a demon or angry spirit, I would be the first one screaming and just running in mortal terror. That's just what people do.
I've seen one or a couple of those. And my first question is, when these pranks happen, like I saw the one you're talking about where a creepy girl in the elevator, and I saw one where there was a girl on a dock right under a light, and the light is shining down her. Two guys like walk up to her, and then she starts running at them, and they run away screaming because they're freaked out because she looks like the girl from The Ring. What's her name? Mm-hmm. Whatever her name was.
Samara,
thank you. And all I kept thinking was, now if they stop dead in their tracks and punch her in the face, is that okay? Or is
yes, this... yes. If a little girl ghost enters my elevator, if my reaction isn't to turn around in fear, it is to lash out with a flurry of kicks and punches would leave her broken.
Come on, man. Ghost
and I wouldn't feel an ounce of regret because she had it coming.
Well, I'm saying in the real world, like, can you get arrested? Can you explain that to the cop? Like, hey, she was running at me,
Judge,
looking like Samara.
Watch the tape.
It's on video. Yeah.
Watch the tape.
Yep.
I dare you to come.
I didn't ask for this. She just scared the bejesus out of me. My flight or fight reactions kicked in.
Give
and
my
I just
shoe back.
The crap out of her.
I mean, I remember seeing a little internet video of a guy walking past one of those big trash bins. And all of a sudden, someone who was inside of it jumps up wearing this costume to scare the
punch
person
him right
walking
in the face.
Next. Yeah, he just pow punches him right in the face without even
thinking about it.
Without a thought. That's what we do. We either flight or fight. But then, I'm more of a flyer.
Me too. But, my first instinct would never be to punch. I don't think I've ever thrown a real punch.
My first would be to punch and claw and cut. Yeah.
Brian and I stunned the crap out of them. Then I got a better chance when I haul ass.
Just don't do any of the stuff in Texas because you will get shot.
Yeah.
That is true. Rawr, poof. Oh, shit.
Halloween must suck in
dead.
Texas.
She's
years ago, I was in San Francisco and on Fisherman's Wharf, there's this bridge going from, it's just a road, it's just got a paved concrete wall. And so it's probably 20, 30 yards long. There's nothing from one end of this cement little bridge to the other. And there was this guy sitting there he was dressed and he had his face painted and stuff, but he was just sitting there with two bushy limbs on both sides of him in the middle of this walkway on the side. And people would walk by and he would just rah, you know, open them up and come and get like, he's not even camouflaged. I mean, you can see a person there and he's got these brushes over him, you know, and people just, I guess, because people are so much in their own little world. And if they're tourists, they're checking out everything and you know, it's, they don't realize this bush should not be growing in the middle of this concrete bridge.
As a rule, yeah.
But it was like, yeah, it was brilliant. It's, you're so much, I guess he was just so much in the, you know, in the open that, that he was actually kind of camouflaged. And it was just hilarious to stand there and watch him scare people as they walk by.
That's funny. All right, well, let's get to our list. Let's get to our do's and don'ts. And we can go as long as you guys got them, as long as they're entertaining, we can do them. Basically, we're going to go round robin until we run out of these. Everyone has a list of things that piss them off when watching a scary movie, when they see characters do something. Clichés that always happen. But we think as viewers, we always have the right solutions. And generally, we're going to find out if we do or if we're just dumb to begin with. Kind of works like this. For every don't, like, for example, don't open that closet door. Instead, you have to honor a counter, or you have to offer a counter. Do take a baseball bat and swing at the door just to be safe. And you can't just say run outside for every answer because that would just be way too easy. We assume you've ran as much as you can run for the generally. So we're going to go Justin, Brian, Scott, me. Justin, Brian, Scott, me. So Justin, what's your first do and don't?
Don't try and save stupid friends. They're only going to get you killed. Do let natural selection work itself out.
It's a Darwin advice.
Do not be a hero for dumb people.
Actually, that one, well, mine comes off now. All right, I had that one. All right, who's next? Brian?
Yeah, all right. Don't let's split up.
Yeah.
This is dumb. This is, you know, there's,
we'll cover
safety
more ground in this way.
Right.
Which never makes any sense.
Exactly. There's safety in numbers here. So you got to, you know, do stick together. So even if somebody dies horribly, you A, have a chance to still get away. And B, there's witnesses to back up your obviously unbelievable story.
Yep.
I see a common thread here. Selfish sons of bitches is what you are.
Don't you love it, too, when you do watch a movie and someone says, hey, let's split up, and another person says, no, that's dumb. You're like, yes!
Yeah, but then they still do it, which then I go back to, you're dumb. Why are you so dumb? Scotty?
Don't read a language that you don't understand, a written language that you don't speak or read, especially when it's written on some old document or some dusty old book.
Mm-hmm.
Do go ahead and Google Translate that shit.
No.
I like
that. You do burn it. You cut the book up into pieces. You bury it. You get as far away from it. You don't open the covers past the fleshy hardcover that's all sewn together. No. No. Don't even open it. Just,
hey, guys, this looks like it was made with human skin. Oh,
no.
Let's touch it.
If it don't burn, bury it.
I like Scott's idea. I want to see what it translates to.
Yeah, because it's not.
You're all going to die.
It's fine, right?
That's funny.
I mean, I was watching the remake of Evil Dead recently, and God, that thing works. Mm-hmm. But as soon as that blonde-haired, bespeckled dude opens the book, right there it says, do not read this.
Yeah. Like several
times.
What
does he do? He goes on to read it all.
He's dyslexic.
He deserves it to die.
He's dyslexic. He has a problem. All right, my first one. Don't stay in the house after you notice your toy clown is dancing on its own or telling or spirit is telling you to get out. Do move the hell out as fast as you can and sell the place to an unsuspecting couple for a profit.
Never mention what happened.
Never mention it. Full disclosure doesn't include dirty clowns and voices in your house. Sorry.
Right.
You're good. Justin?
Don't stand in the middle of the room and look around for what might be coming. Do get into a corner or get by a wall to limit the avenues in which death can come at you.
Check your corners.
Check your six, your corners. Don't stand in the middle of the woods yelling for your friends either.
Peripherals, people. Peripherals.
If your friend ain't with you, consider them dead.
Get new friends.
Get new friends. There's all sorts of, you know, there's Friendster, Facebook,
Tinder,
find new folks.
Tinder can even
help. I think that Justin's theme of all of his are just be selfish.
Yeah, just save yourself.
Save yourself.
Brian?
I've got a couple more, but they're more of the, I guess, maybe notes to the director.
That's fine.
Or I'll writer.
Just one at a time.
Type
though.
Of stuff here. All right. Don't it's the wind. You know, if I've lived in some pretty windy areas and I've heard the occasional branch rubbing against the, you know, the side of the house or the roof or something. And it may raise some questions on a very rare occasion as far as, you know, what could that noise be? You know, so for the most part, if the problem outside is ever the wind, you're pretty much in Twister, not a horror movie. So it's more like probably more like Friday the 13th. So blame something else. Maybe it's fireworks outside or construction, something along those lines, whatever the case is, you know, whatever, but set it up and, you know, blame something else.
So what is your do? Because that
was
like
the wind gets a bad rap.
That was like a book report.
Do blame something else.
Okay, there we go.
Do blame something else. Blame fireworks. Blame construction.
If you hear, I'm going to swallow your soul, that ain't the wind.
Right.
A house doesn't grow.
If it speaks a language. If it speaks any language, get out.
It's so weird how the wind sounds like my Ozzy Osbourne record when I play it backwards. That's so odd.
Is that Latin? It's Latin wind. Weird.
Yeah, if it's Latin, run.
Scotty?
Must be El Nino.
More like El Nuno. Getting out.
Don't use
different Latin?
Don't use a firearm as a weapon. Someone with a melee weapon is probably like a knife or a golf club is going to own you if you use a gun. Because it seemed like that way. The people that survive are the ones that don't have the weapon you would think would survive.
Well, if you're 100% sure it's loaded and cocked and the safety's not on, then...
No, it's not going to work. Does it ever work? You always get taken down by somebody with a lesser weapon if you have a firearm.
So what do they do?
An axe, a bat, and a machete. You know what those three things have in common? No ammunition.
You don't run out.
You don't run out. And guns, most people are bad shots as it is. Amp up your adrenaline to 11. Get that hand shaking like you got Parkinson's. You ain't hitting squat.
Do invest in some kind of stab-proof clothing because you'll be just fine.
Like go to the store, right? Hold that thought,
dude. If you're you got to be prepared, right? That's what the Boy Scouts say.
Absolutely. Do they make swimsuits out of Kevlar?
Oh,
there you go.
They're not quite as sexy, but they do make them.
It depends on what cut you get.
That's true.
All right, don't try to take on the massive killer who you just personally witnessed popping your friend's head off like a daisy. Instead, do run and treat the woods like an obstacle course. Get the heck out. Get out.
Shoot treat right. It like an episode of Wipeout.
But don't fall as much.
No, yes.
Oh, that's funny. Justin.
Don't knock the bad guy down and then just run away.
Double tap.
Do keep beating, stabbing, shooting, whatever it is you're doing. Keep doing that until they're tomato paste.
Yeah, that's a good call.
When they are down, that is when you take advantage.
Oh, I like that.
Ask the Red Viper.
Yeah, exactly. Don't
it's
get
not
cocked.
A horror movie, but...
Brian.
Don't monologue.
I got you. You're dead. Oh, shit.
Don't wipe the steam off the mirror in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, especially if there's another face or something else in the mirror, don't just keep wiping and turn around and look to see what's behind you. Just smash the mirror and just run like hell. Get out of there.
Mine's kind of similar, actually. Don't own a medicine cabinet.
Just don't even bother owning it.
Just a regular old shelf that you can just see without having to open a mirror or a door or anything on it. Just.
And shower curtains got to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least be clear.
Yeah.
Be clear.
Be transparent.
Don't invite your friends to hang out at the site of a previous massacre on the anniversary of that slaughter.
Yeah.
Do be smart enough to stay out of that zip code on the night of the anniversary. Some bad shit's going to go down.
I think be aware just of your local area's bad happenings and when those anniversaries are coming up. Because you don't want to be around.
Justin, you said you're out, right?
I have used up mine.
Brian?
Don't trip while running away. I mean, if I'm frightened enough to run, you know, I'm not looking back until I'm probably crossing the county line about six or seven counties away.
Don't look over your shoulder. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I'm not looking over my shoulder. I'm running Forrest Gump style. I'm just running and running and running and running, and just, you know, and if you have to slow them down somehow, because I mean, you've got to let the inevitably just walking or, you know, strolling mass murderer or ghost, you know, catch up somehow. I mean, just do something different. Quicksand.
Quicksand.
A foam pit from like a gymnastics building or something. A pool full of Jello. I don't care. Just don't trip.
That just got sexy. A pool full of Jello sounds awesome.
I just thought it's strawberry. I mean,
think about it. Just like sit and think for a minute. When's the last time you were running or even walking so clumsily that you tripped and didn't catch yourself and keep from falling?
I got to tell you, I jog and I've hit the dirt quite frequently from roots and whatnot. I have gotten a real appreciation for horror movies over the last couple of years because that one actually makes sense to me. In the dark, in the woods, trying to run, you hit roots. You really do.
Why are you running in the dark?
Because I'm being chased in the dark.
He's man packing and they're trying to pack some man.
Scott?
When someone gives you some kind of important advice, don't ignore or forget it. Do jot down a little note or put a reminder in your phone. Just saying.
Just ding. It kind of reminds me of that trailer for that new horror movie, The Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as it came up and it said, stay on the path, I knew bitch is getting off this path as quickly as possible.
They always do. Oh, this way is quicker. It's not marked. How is that quicker? Why are these dirt roads always faster? I don't understand.
It doesn't say bypass. There's no bypass that's the width of a bicycle.
That's so funny. Don't keep talking to someone in a Halloween mask that refuses to answer you. Do punch them in the junk over and over until they hit the ground, and then just keep punching them until they make a sound you realize or understand.
Yeah, you're not Tony Stark. You can't talk to the bad guy just and have a drink, a little cocktail.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cute when you scare the crap out of me. No, it's not. Hit them. Keep hitting them. Bob,
if you see a clown staring at you and you say, hey, what's up? And he doesn't give you the head nod back, run. Don't walk up and try to engage him further.
Brian, you have any more?
No, I'm done.
Scott?
When waking up from a dream, don't assume that you're in the real world.
You're just in another dream.
Yeah. Do watch Inception at least once a year to remind yourself of the distinct possibility that you will be waking up in another dream.
That's a really... My mind is blown. That's a good
what
one.
What if we merged Inception with Nightmare on Elm Street?
Mm. Does the top spin... Because that's really all I need to know. All right. Freddy.
Until these claws reach out and grab it at the end.
Hmm. I got two more. I don't know how many more do you got, Scott. Do you have any more?
You know how in a movie when you finally get that chance to kick the bad guy's ass?
Mm-hmm.
When that does happen, don't use the line, this is for blank, and this is for blank. Whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about?
Like
this is for my mom.
Oh, yeah.
And this is for my sister, whatever it is. It's not necessary. Who honestly doesn't know why they're getting their ass kicked?
And it's time for chit chat.
Yeah. And if by some strange reason they really don't know, then do leave them a note.
On their dead body.
On their dead body.
All right. I got two more. One, don't bring home creepy ass dolls, nor keep dolls that anyone tells you has moved or talked to them. Do light those dolls on fire. Maybe sprinkle some gasoline, get a good blaze going. Burn the shit out of them. Torch them. They're done. Yeah.
Or just go Fargo and wood chipper.
Oh, even better. If you've got a wood chipper, there goes the doll. If they say, I can't get it out of the house, you pick it up and you walk it out. Trick it. Whatever you got to do. I don't care.
Or you move.
Exactly. Move. Don't tell the doll. They're not going to know until it's, hey. Why am I still in the Madison cabinet? All right, my last one. Don't ignore warnings from locals. They live there. If a few of them keep saying your new home or vacation spot is a death trap, do find better accommodations. It's important to your life. It really is. I never understand that. If I go to a new town and some guy's on the corner, it's a death curse. I start looking in the history a little bit. Like, you know what? And then if three people say it, I leave. I'm done. Can't do this anymore.
Basically, if your real estate agent gives you a house that's too good to be true, it is.
Always.
Don't get that Amityville house. Keep looking.
Exactly.
Oh, you know what? I do have one more.
Okay.
Don't stare. Well, this one kind of was alluded to earlier with Justin's don't be in the middle of a room, but don't just sit and stare at whatever impending danger is coming towards you without moving.
Mm-hmm.
Do calculate some kind of responsible escape strategy that keeps you and those around you safe.
Well, wait, around us? Because I thought we all decided that.
That's you guys. You guys are all the selfish ones. They're cast I'm still looking out for my buddies.
Well, it will buy you some more time.
You'll be the first to go.
Exactly.
You'll be the one that I shoot in the leg. So you're slower to run out of there than I am.
Or just kick your kneecap out.
One of my buddy of mine told me this one. He wanted me to say, do maim your friends if there's a killer in the woods, or because then basically it will save you. Just leave your friend for death. Make sure they're hurt so they're stuck there.
Yeah, it's very sound logic.
Oh, how about don't run as fast as you can, but do run faster than the slowest guy there.
Yep. There you go.
You don't have to be Usain Bolt. You just got to be faster than somebody else.
Right.
That's right. It works for ghosts and bears.
Now it's time for our listeners' thoughts. You guys got them? We posted these on Facebook, usually on Tuesday or so, and sometimes in the group, but usually on the Facebook page. So go to facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider and check there Tuesday or Wednesday. You'll see the topic for every week if you want to comment. Go ahead, guys.
David McGraw says, don't go into the bedroom or shower with the beautiful girl with the unbelievable body. Do reconsider your sexual orientation or join the priesthood.
That's good. Steve Peterson says, don't fumble with your car keys while trying to get away. Do buy a car with the keyless entry and push button start.
That's a really good point. You know how many lives would be saved if their key fob could start their car as they're running toward it?
That's true.
And unlock the door.
As if that car would start. You know. It could be the most reliable car in the world, and as soon as Jason is chasing you, it ain't going to start.
And if it doesn't start on the second try, you run anyway. Why do you? I'm going to give this about 8 tries before I give up and then realize he's outside my door. It's just a stupid plan. Steve had 2 of them.
And Steve also said, don't lean over the bad guy to see if he's still alive after the final attack. Do shoot or stab him in the head repeatedly while he's down.
Exactly.
One of us said that one already. Yep.
Empty a clip. Yep.
Amy Hutchison says, don't run up the freaking stairs or down them for that matter to any place that isn't ground level unless you have easily accessible stairs leading outside.
That's a really good point.
Do invest in a Jodie Foster panic room and run straight into that shit.
Both valid points.
Both very valid, yeah.
John Parrish says, for God's sakes, people, don't split up to investigate the house. Do stay in a tight phalanx formation, preferably with automatic weapons.
We're playing Left 4 Dead.
Or 300.
That's awesome. I like that.
Josh Dima says, don't fall while running. There's Brian's. Because of poor shoe choice. High heels or sandals. Do wear some goddamn tennis shoes. Did he say goddamn?
He says goddamn. Yeah.
Goddamn tennis shoes so a branch doesn't cost you your life.
It's a good call. Good call.
Yeah. High heels and horror movies do not mix.
Who goes camping in high heels?
Girl.
Well, you may not be camping, but inevitably you will end up in the woods at some point.
I have seen girls camping in high heels. That's a true story.
Hmm.
I don't understand it either.
I might want to go on your camping trips again.
Now it doesn't sound so bad, does it?
Man packing sounds pretty good now all of a sudden.
You didn't tell us that part.
Or maybe they were dudes, I'm not sure. But either way, they were wearing heels.
That's something I would be sure. Anyway, Wayne Edwards says, don't sit or lay next to the zombie thinking it's dead for real. And it ain't. I just started watching The Walking Dead. I know I am way late to the party. Don't hate me, Brian. Do pickaxe or arrow everybody that growls or moans as their form of conversation. That's a good rule to live by.
Yeah, good plan.
Andrew Jeeves says, don't open that door where the monster's hiding. Instead, leave while you still can. Mm.
Yeah. Brian Lowry says, don't split up and do keep moving.
See a thread? I see a common thread.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Baker says, don't drink, smoke, do drugs, or have premarital sex. You will die. No exceptions. Do be a virgin. Oh, and being a woman helps too. Those virgin nerdy guys don't make it sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it took us that long to get to don't have sex.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, don't have sex, don't smoke pot, don't drink. Because that's when...
Don't drink, don't smoke. What
do
you
Adamant.
Do?
All right,
wow.
Mark Shelton says, don't be the only black guy. Do pay attention to the creepy townie that tells you to stay away from X. The Walking Dead burns through black guys like a fat kid eats potato chips. That
He's
is true,
right about that.
Sadly. If you're going to a party, make sure that there are more than one of you, whatever you are, at that party.
And the last one comes from Brad Peterson. He says, don't take the back roads. Stick to major highways.
Thank you. Yes.
Why do they do that in movies? Do you know?
Because of the scenery. You know, you want to take that scenic route.
Is that what it is, or is they trying to get there? They think it's going to be a shortcut, or what? Is it the scenery? Is that usually what it is?
If I was going to take those back roads, it would be for the scenery.
We did have one that came in late. It said, from Paul Assell, if the bad gay, bad gays are fine. If the bad guy, oops, person, is down and you think they're dead, don't run away. Tie them up, throw furniture on them, shoot them a few more times because they are never dead.
That if you can, draw and quarter them.
Like take the time to just line them up?
Well, you got to get the four horses, yes, and then you got to get the rope, but I think it's worth it.
Hey, if they took the time to come back from the dead or from some supernatural place or something like that, yeah, I can. It's the least I can do is take the time to cut them up into four or five pieces, take them to different parts of the world, and burn each individual part.
Wow, that was really specific. That was oddly specific.
Just saying, I've thought it out.
I guess. All right, what's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener suggest a clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com or on your app. You can hit the contact tab and send us an email that way. And next week we'll give you a proper host shout out. Last week's answer was Scott's pick, and it was Detroit Rock City. Those that got it correct, Steve Peterson, Andrew Jeeves, and Troy Heinrichs. Congratulations, y'all. This week it is my pick, and yes, I realize it's not a difficult one, but it's suitable for this environment. Here you go.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left. No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of life or death, of good or evil, right or wrong. I met this six-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Ooh, sounds like Scott's childhood, huh? All right. Now let's go on to our reviews. We have two reviews. One's going to be really quick, and then one's going to be Crimson Peak. The first Justin will be heading that one up, by the way. I don't know if I said that. Bridge of Spies, which is Tom Hanks' new movie, directed by Steven Spielberg. Tom Hanks stars as American lawyer James Donovan. If you don't know who he is in history, I would wait to look him up till after you saw the movie, by the way, because it's a really fun, there's a really fun history to him. That if you don't know, it's great when you find out. He was tasked by both his firm and the government with representing an alleged Soviet spy during the Cold War. Donovan is initially reluctant because he knows the world will despise him almost as much as his client, which really resonated, I think, with today's culture and how things work. Eventually, he agrees to it, and he finds out that no one truly wants his client to receive due process. They just want to put on a show and pretend like he got a good defense, and then give him the electric chair. That's all they want to do. Donovan keeps fighting. He keeps he keeps bullying away, trying to get him a fair trial, a fair sentence, just something fair. And as circumstances arise, an American soldier ends up captured in Russia. The government leans on Donovan to then negotiate the exchange of his Russian spy for their American one. And to do so, he must head to the heart of the Cold War in Berlin. Tom Hanks, great as always. I can't say enough about Tom Hanks. He's just a wonderful actor. Everything about the movie that shines is something he contributed to. The humanity of the film, even though the other actors are all fine, but it truly shines through Hanks. His everyman quality, his refusal to see his client as anything other than a man doing his duty, is something I haven't seen in a film of this nature. So I really, really did appreciate that. He really gets you to sympathize with a perceived traitor, and I don't think that's an easy feat. Bridge of Spies was an engaging film. It was very insightful into the history of Donovan, as well as to how the spy game worked, because I honestly had no idea how it worked. It does have a bit of been there, done that, just because it's a little historical. We've done Cold War to death, but I think there's enough fresh material here that you'll enjoy this take on a tired subject. Steven Spielberg directed it, but there is nothing special here that I would have noticed if you wouldn't have told me. I never would have guessed Steven Spielberg movie. So if $10 is full price for Mission, I give it $6. Crimson Peak, Justin. Tell us about Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak is written and directed by Guillermo del Toro. It stars Mia Wasikowska, Jessica Chastain, Tom Hiddleston, Charlie Hunnam, Doug Jones, and Jim Beaver. In the aftermath of a family tragedy, an aspiring author is torn between love for her childhood friend and the temptation of a mysterious outsider. Trying to escape the ghosts of her past, she's swept away to a house that breathes, bleeds, and remembers. Now, Aaron, this is I would label this a gothic horror film. I don't think it's a horror film in the, I guess, what you would consider the traditional or modern sense of the word. There aren't a lot of the tropes that you get these days because of, I think, of the setting, the time period. But it's very gothic in its architecture and the set design and in the costumes as well. What did you think of the story for this movie?
Well, you and I talked about this. I don't consider it a horror movie at all. I think it's a gothic romance. There are some ghosts, but it's not a ghost story. It's just a story with some ghosts in it. It's really about a romance that just goes wrong. Here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought up story first, because that way I can end on a high note. I found the story really weak. I think the story is extremely weak. I had the entire film figured out about 10 minutes in. It's just one of those movies that I don't think is a real complicated plot. But I just stay with me for the rest of it, because that doesn't affect the rest of the movie. I really enjoyed the movie. I just think it's a story that's kind of been told before.
But. Yeah, it's not the most original story that's been put up on the silver screen. There were a few moments where Guillermo del Toro even went so far as to kind of tell you flat out.
A little too blatantly, I thought, to a degree sometimes.
You know, that certain things are metaphors and things like that. So I wish he hadn't played it quite so on the nose with certain aspects of the story. I like the performances of these actors overall in giving that story, though. It's there's something about Hunnam that when he's not playing Jax, I don't care for him all that much, though in Pacific Rim, it wasn't as noticeable. In this one, it is a little more. But everyone else, especially Jessica Chastain, for me, she's the real star of this movie. Aside from the house and the set design, she's the star. She's the engine that really kind of drives so much of what goes on with it. But all in all, not the greatest story in the world, but what they do with the film itself, I do think there's some interesting things going on with it. So let's go to, were there any actors in particular that you did like?
I didn't like Hunnam. I mean, I did not like him. He just, you know, he was just Jax Teller with a, you know, that was it. He didn't do his sashay walk like he did in Sons of Anarchy, but outside of that.
Well, he didn't show his butt.
He didn't. Very disappointed in that. Hiddleston was good. I like Chastain, but really Wasikowska was really what blew me away. Mia Wasikowska. She was, you may remember her, she was in Alice in Wonderland. I thought her performance was the heart of the story. She moved me every time she was on screen. I absolutely adored her. Chastain gives a strong performance, and I think Hiddleston was really good too. But really, when it comes down to Mia, just every time she was on screen, I was just in awe of her. She was just wonderful.
I didn't love her that much, but I will say that I'm glad that she didn't play a wilting wallflower. Mm-mm. And she did face what was coming for her instead of just running and screaming. So I'll give her that. But really what makes this film is the production, whether we're talking the CG or the practical effects, the setting and all that. How do you think Guillermo del Toro did with all those things? And do you think that it measures up to his previous works like Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy, The Devil's Backbone, those sorts of movies?
I think del Toro has a wondrous eye for Gothic. He just seems to appreciate art design in a way that I don't know of any other director working currently does. And I mean, the art design here is just absolutely gorgeous. Every banister and every crevice, it feels like a story in itself. Like it's telling the history of the mansion as you walk around and you see different areas. There's scenes where you first walk into the mansion and snow is falling down from busted down rafters. Just absolutely stunning. And when you see the white blankets of snow outside and you see the colors playing on it, it looks just stunning. The direction is beautiful. I like that he took the time to introduce the characters and let them grow and find their identity as opposed to just rushing us into the story. I really did like that. I think it's a very old-fashioned tale.
Yeah, you don't actually get to Crimson Peak until maybe nearly halfway into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little sooner than that, but it does take its time. And I will say that while there aren't as many ghosts as I was hoping for, when they were on screen, they look amazing. I love that the way it's not quite smoke, but it's almost like these just bits of black are constantly floating upward from them. It gives them a very ethereal, very spectral, nasty look that I found quite appealing.
They almost look like what do they call those on pom-poms? Tassels. They almost look like spiritual tassels.
Or streamers or something.
Yeah, it just looked really, it's a really strong visual when you see
it. And that was Doug Jones who was actually playing those ghosts.
Oh, very cool.
So it's nice to see he and Guillermo del Toro working together again. So end of the film, $10, what would you give it?
I would give it $7. Mostly the story was my biggest issue, but it's definitely a movie you got to see in a theater. If you love cinema and you love just impeccable direction, you got to see it in a theater because I don't think you'll fully appreciate it if you don't.
I agree. I'll give it $7 as well. I did enjoy it, I think, more than Aaron did on a horror level, but this is one of those that I kind of wish that they might do, that he might revisit, either in a more modern setting or maybe going even further back, because I feel like there's more to Crimson Peak. There's more to that house than we got in this movie. And I would love to be able to explore maybe some of those stories that we didn't get from this film. But $1 out of 10, $7, I think it's worth seeing. I don't know how many more times I'll watch it, but I would love to see kind of how he put this movie together. So I'm sure I'll own it at some point.
Oh, yeah. I would love to hear the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, let's go to box office, buddy. What happened?
All right. This weekend, we have 3 haunted houses in our top 5 weekend box office. Hotel Transylvania 2 was number 5 with its $12 million weekend for $137 million 4-week total. Crimson Peak debuted in the 4th spot with a kind of a soft $13 million. Tom Hanks, his thriller Bridge of Spies, debuted at $15 million to take the 3rd spot. The Martian is holding strong in 2nd with its $21 million weekend number 3. And the number 1 belongs to Goosebumps, as it tallied over $23 million in its debut. So they kind of seem to be... It's kind of a weird weekend. It seemed to be a bit of a log jam. There was
a lot of movies.
The top 2 were you know, they were within a couple of million dollars of each other, and the last three were within all within probably about 2.5-3 million of each other. So
it's crazy.
It was really kind of a successful weekend for all the top five.
And this this weekend we got even more coming out. Justin, what is coming out?
All right, folks, we have got four movies that we're going to be talking about this week, all of them opening up on October 23rd. First one, Gem and the Holograms, directed by John Chu, written by Ryan Lindles. As a small-town girl catapults from underground video sensation to global superstar, she and her three sisters begin a journey of discovery that some talents are too special to keep hidden. And it stars Aubrey Peoples, Stephanie Scott, and Aurora Perrineau. Frankly, I don't know why this is called Gem and the Holograms, because this has no similarity whatsoever to that 80s cartoon, save for the title and that music is involved. But this is not a futuristic girl band with all sorts of laser lights. Scotty, you're a fan of, I think, musical films more than anything. Not to say this is a musical, but I think of all four of us, you're probably the most that likely to want to see this. Do you want to see it?
No, not really. And you're right. I usually like this kind of film, even if it's a made up story, not necessarily a biopic or a musical, like you said, but even if a made up come to glory, so to speak, music or band movie, I like it. But I have no nostalgia for the cartoon. I have no real interest in a movie about a pop star. I don't know. These kind of movies, I'm more interested when it's a focus on musicianship instead of the trials and tribulations of being a pop music star. So it just doesn't do anything for me at all.
Justin's absolutely right. It does not have anything to do with the cartoon. So why? It's just call it early chick band is what it seems like to me. Unless there's something they're hiding from the marketing, but why? Why would you hide that?
And I can't even imagine that it's for the name recognition, because who the hell, other than, you know, some of us Gen Xers, remember who Gem and the Holograms even is?
Nobody that wants to see it. I just don't understand. Why bother? Why bother? If you're not even going to come close, from what I've seen in marketing and what we're being told, if you're not going to come close to the original cartoon, which had a fantastical element, then why even bother? Just throw it on MTV and call it Hem and the Hologram. Nobody's going to care. What?
Call it Coyote Ugly the Band.
Yes. Okay. Young girls that are strippers. All right.
No, I mean, it just has that tone to it. It's a less sexy Coyote Ugly the Band. It's just, that's what it feels like. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Brian will be there opening night. That's what he told me.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
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 Looking forward to that review, buddy.
Yeah, I'll get right on it.
All right. Next up, this will be the latest Vin Diesel film, potentially his latest franchise. We'll see how it goes. The Last Witch Hunter, directed by Breck Eisner, starring Vin Diesel, Rose Leslie, and Elijah Wood. The Last Witch Hunter is all that stands between humanity and the combined forces of the most horrifying witches in history. Now, Aaron, you're a Vin lover. I think we probably all were Vin Diesel fans, but I think of us, you're probably the most likely to be with me in really wanting to see this. Am I accurate in that assessment?
Oh, man. Okay. I think it looks like hot garbage. Okay, I'll be the first to say that. The movie, I think Vin looks like he's in Dom Overdrive. I mean, he's trying way too hard to be. That scene with whatever, where he's got the hair and the beard, and it looks like that one scene from Riddick or whatever, where they catch him on that planet. I just can't not laugh at that. But I still really want to see it because it's Vin frickin' Diesel, and it's a witch. It's a movie I'm going to see that I should be ashamed of, but I still want to see it. There you go. I think it looks bad, but I want to see it.
What about you, Brian? This looks like it's probably up your alley too.
Yeah, this is a subject matter that is right up my alley, and much like Aaron, I'll be the second one to say this looks absolutely horrible. It looks like something from Nicolas Cage's Season of the Witch or Seventh Son with Rooster Cogburn.
like Nick Cage passed.
Right, right. It just looks like, wow, this was, you know, on paper, one of those things that goes, I can see this one being pitched and convincing somebody to do this movie.
See, I can't even see that. On paper, I can't, like, Vin Diesel seems so out of place in a fantasy world.
Well, again, I'm talking about paper. I'm not talking about cast. I'm just talking about on paper, the story, the you know, it's almost, I can see that the story being pitched. Now, once again, that's where they kind of, I think part of it where they messed up is maybe casting, maybe director, I don't know what, but somewhere between point A and point B, something went wrong. And it could be the marketing. I don't know.
I gotta say, I can understand why you guys feel that way. To me, when I think of a hot garbage kind of movie, I think of I, Frankenstein. And for me, this looks head and shoulders better than any of the trailers for I, Frankenstein ever could have had.
See, I think it's right on par with I, Frankenstein.
See, I think this looks really good, but that could be rose-colored glasses that I put on, because it is Vin Diesel, it is witch hunting, and, you know, those are all things that are right up my alley. In fact, I think if they were to somehow join this with Hansel and Gretel,
I was just thinking that, yeah,
that would probably be the most awesome movie ever made.
And I want to point out, Hansel and Gretel looked like garbage too.
It did. It did. It looked like stupid garbage, but it works.
It was really fun. So it can be fun and still not look good. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that it pulls an Underworld where the trailers look kind of silly, but the eventual film itself works well, or at least for me, Underworld worked well.
See, I'm on the other end. I want it to go Hudson Hawk. I want it to go just so far off the rails.
No, crazy.
All the reviews are like, what the hell just happened? I don't know what I just saw. I want that kind of crazy. That's what I want.
Oh, shut your mouth. All right, last up.
Bunny, ball.
Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension.
God.
Directed by Gregory Plotkin. Using a special camera that can see spirits, a family must protect their daughter from an evil entity with a sinister plan. Well, what kind of plan is an evil entity supposed to have but a sinister one? Stars Chris J. Murray, Britt Shaw, and Ivy George.
When you're right, you're right.
You know, this is the latest, and probably from what I understand, this is supposed to be the last Paranormal Activity movie that they make. This will close out the saga of Paranormal Activity. Brian, are you ready to hop onto the paranormal train and ride out to the ghost dimension?
Wow, so this one is actually going to be the last one?
That's what they say.
Now, that appeals to me, because I'm checked out. I mean, I kind of got off on the last stop one or two stops ago. I am impressed that there is an evil entity that has goals and makes plans. That's, I mean, I don't know where they find the time. Do they have a kind of a thought room, or, you know, some sort of little ghost office that they hang out in and say,
they have like Vizio app.
Yeah.
Do they get some sort of text alert saying, hey, new people moved into your old house?
Begin so, one.
Right, right. Hey, you're needed at 5274 Main Street or something. I don't know. I was curious. There was a couple of images that are right on par with what you get with these Paranormal Activity movies, and it appealed to me. And then I heard the words, "I have a special camera that can see things the human eye can't see," or something along those lines. And I said, "Okay, no, that's." That lost me. Now they're creating, you know, it was one thing when it was security cameras, even the Xbox camera.
Yeah.
I was down with that because those are real things. Yeah, exactly. Now you're just some regular Joe who creates a video camera that films spirits. Okay.
It happens.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I feel the same way as you do, because the appeal of the original movies to me was how little special effects there were in them. And I feel like they've thrown all that out the window with this one and made it more about let's make this creepy ghostly figure, and it's just kind of gone downhill. But I still want to see how they wrap up this story. I'm actually kind of wrapped up in the lore of this of these movies a little bit. On the last one, I actually went back and rewatched all of them just to get like back into it, just to because there's like a background story that I'm really interested in seeing how it finishes off. So as much as I'm not looking forward to the lack of practical effects, I still got to see how it wraps up. And it's Halloween. I like being freaked out. So
I think you could probably just Wikipedia that, Scott. You don't really have to spend 6 hours.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
I feel you.
I want to see it. And part of me just wants to, you know, just Beetlejuice, and see if that'll change something up. I want something crazy in this movie because it seems like they're just doing the same thing over and over and over.
That's kind of the thing with these movies is the buildup is just okay, but the payoff, even if the rest of the movie was just mediocre, the payoff always seems a little bit worth it. There's something that happens at the end that really just puts you on edge and wants to see the next one.
Was Marked Ones any good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Was it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It wasn't great, but it was better than 4.
I don't even know if I saw it. Which one was 4?
4 was the one with the girl at the laptop that carried it around everywhere with her.
I like that one. I did like
did
that
you?
One. Yeah, I like that one.
Is that the one where they were at the other house across the street or something like that?
They were across the street from where the little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I would like some. Oh, that makes me think. That's probably the waiting room they're all in, Brian. Is that Beetlejuice room? Son of a bitch.
If you had gone silent after saying Beetlejuice 3 times, that would have been epic. But you missed that opportunity.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry I failed you again.
You know, if they will explain how this camera does what it does, I will give it a complete pass. But if someone just says simply, hey, this thing sees things we can't, and then that is the extent, then I will be disappointed. Because there are so many ways that you could explain that. Somebody cast a spell on it. There's some weird tech in it that you can't explain. Make a token effort
if they found it by mistake and realized that it's sunspots that creates some sort of filter that helps amplify the physical attributes of a ghost or spirit, you know, something weird or crazy like that, I would be fine.
Some kind of electromagnetic visualizer.
You know, but the fact that it's like, hey, by the way, guess what? I was playing around with his camera and I found out, you know what? I can see ghosts now. Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So I'll tell you what, I'm just going to put a couple of them around the house and we'll just see what happens. What do you think?
I think that sounds like a fine idea.
If you take car headlights and you put car headlights in the high beams, you see ghosts.
I can't see any problems with this at all. Yeah, I really want to see this. I'm hoping that it closes out the Paranormal Activity franchise with a bang. I'm even okay with all the sudden special effects, considering that the earlier ones were so bereft of them. To go out just throwing everything in the sink at the screen, I'm gonna be okay with that. But I am afraid that it's going to end up being the hot sloppy mess that you guys were talking about when we were on the last Witch Hunter.
Yeah.
And our last film of the evening, Rock the Casbah. This is written and directed by Leila Marekchi. I think is how it's pronounced. The whole family's reunited when Sophia comes back from his. Hold on. When Sophia comes back from his father's funeral, Sophia's the girl? No, it's Sophia's the guy.
Hey, don't judge.
That's weird. When Sophia comes back from her father's funeral, quickly inner problems are revealed. This one stars Nate. Am I even looking at the right Rock the Cat? No, this is from 2013.
You dipshit. God.
There we go. All right.
I don't remember as Sophie.
Yeah. Okay. You ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look forward to hearing that one.
Hopefully this one's good. This one's Rock the Casbah, directed by Barry Levinson, written by Mitch Glazer. A down-on-his-luck music manager discovers a teenage girl with an extraordinary voice while on a music tour in Afghanistan and takes her to Kabul to compete on the popular television show Afghan Star. It stars Bill Murray, Liam Labani and Zoe Deschanel. Aaron, well, no, Aaron, screw you. We're going to go back to Scott because it's more music.
All right.
Scott, rocking the Casbah, Bill Murray on the big screen, Zoe Deschanel, and those just those big blue eyes. You think this is going
to
work?
I've never heard to her referred to as Zoe Deschanel. I thought it was, isn't Zoe Deschanel?
Who the frack cares?
I just checking. I don't know, but... the funny thing about this movie is I've been seeing this advertised all over TV, but I had no idea what it was about. I feel like the little snippet trailers you get don't give you anything. So I didn't actually watch the trailer till today. This movie looks great. Bill Murray looks to be like back in classic Bill Murray. I feel like we're getting that Bill Murray that everybody loves. I feel like we haven't seen it in forever. Plus the rest of the cast looks outstanding. It looks genuinely funny with a fresh idea, even though it is based on a true story. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing Danny McBride in a non-annoying role because he's got a bit part in this and he does not, he's not yelling at anybody. He's
Danny
not.
McBride, he's occasionally annoying.
Yeah. I would say if there was
that. Exclusively.
Nine, never got that.
Yeah, almost exclusively. Good call,
Scott. He always constantly rocks the screen.
If by rock you mean makes you want to leave, yes, he does that a lot. Yeah.
But we didn't see any of that in this trailer. He has a little bit of comedy tone to him, but it's not in your face, screaming, swearing, belligerently. It looks like he might be playing a character, or he's playing a character in other things, but he's playing a deeper character, it looks like, in this one. So I'm actually looking forward to this one quite a bit. I think it looks really good.
I know it's sacrilege, but I am really over Bill Murray. Like, I still like him, and I love when he turns up in a cameo now and again, but I just haven't seen anything of his in the last 5 or 10 years, really, that blew me away.
Well, I haven't seen anything that looked really interesting in the past 5 or 10 years.
That was a cameo. That was a cameo, though. I mean, he hasn't done, like, a full-length movie where he's the star.
Right.
Where I could go back and say, man, that was a really fun movie. I mean, it's just been, some Wes Anderson stuff that I haven't liked, and then... I mean, maybe Lost in Translation, I guess, but I still didn't love that movie. So I have no interest. Zip.
I think the last thing he did that I enjoyed and liked or cared about was Zombieland.
Yep, same here.
What about Broken Flowers? Did any of you like that movie?
Never saw it. His attitude towards the Ghostbusters sequel for so long just irritated the crap out of me, and it just put a bad taste in my mouth regarding Bill Murray.
He's kind of got that thing where people revere him, and they love him, and sometimes I wonder if they even remember why they love him. And it's like I haven't really laughed my ass off at Bill Murray since the 80s, maybe early 90s. So I don't know why he seems like a saint just because he does weird stuff like pops up at people's bar mitzvahs or whatever. He just doesn't do anything for me anymore. Sorry if that makes me a Murray hater, but I can take him or leave him.
All right, guys. Well, of these four films, Jen and the... I'm sorry, I'm reading. I'm totally...
I'm sorry, Burgundy. What? How's the weather in San Diego?
Burgundy. This one. Jem and the Holograms, Last Witch Hunter, Paranormal Activity, Ghost Dimension, and Rock the Casbah. Which one are you guys most likely to head out to a theater and check out? Aaron?
Last Witch Hunter.
Yeah.
Brian?
The same for me, Last Witch Hunter.
Are you sure?
I don't know. It's, for some reason, I had a hard time getting that out.
Scotty?
Paranormal Activity, Ghost Dimension, but only because that's a better theater experience than Rock the Casbah, I think, would be.
Okay. I'm going to go with Last Witch Hunter as well. I'll definitely going to be seeing Paranormal Activity in the theater as well, but I'm much more interested in what's going on with that one. So there you go. We beat Scotty.
Yay! Scott, you lost. But tell us what's coming up on Blu-ray and Video On Demand.
This is for October 27th. The first is Pixels, which we talked about back on episode 197. Brian gave it a 5. I gave it a 7. When aliens misinterpret video feeds of classic arcade games as a declaration of war, they attack Earth in the form of video games. It stars Adam Sandler, Kevin James, and Peter Dinklage. It's not as bad as everybody says it is. Give it a shot. Try to go into it with an open mind and have fun. Southpaw, written by Kurt Sutter and starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Rachel McAdams, is about a boxer, Billy Hope, who turns to trainer Tick Williams to help him get his life back on track after losing his wife in a tragic accident and his daughter to Child Protection Services. Aaron reviewed that one on episode 197, gave it $6.
A generous $6, by the way.
Really?
That's a Gyllenhaal carried that thing over the finish line. The story is dumb, but he's amazing.
Why is it dumb? I mean, that sounds like a pretty...
It's so generic when you see it.
Yeah?
Yeah, you'll see when you watch it.
I don't know, maybe I won't.
You never know.
He learned everything about acting from his sister.
Well, she that sure looked... Hot, she looks sister. Just like him, so it makes sense. She probably has the same beard, too.
Next up is The Gift. A young married couple, played by Jason Bateman and Rebecca Hall, have their lives thrown into a harrowing tailspin when an acquaintance from the husband's past, who's played by Joel Edgerton, brings a mysterious gift and multiple gifts in a horrifying secret to light after more than 20 years. Aaron read that one on episode 199 and gave it $6.50. I saw that one as well, and I was surprised at how much I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, good flick.
Max, which none of us saw, but it's about a dog that helped U.S. Marines in Afghanistan and returns to the U.S. and is adopted by his handler's family after suffering a traumatic experience.
That's one of those Christian movies, right?
No.
I don't believe it is, actually.
It's a dog
it's
movie.
It's not. I said that.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
I kind of do, too, actually, surprisingly.
It's about a dog. Who cares?
And last one on disc is Human Centipede 3, which...
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was out already for some reason. Well, I'm going to tell you. Taking inspiration from the Human Centipede films... The warden of a notorious and troubled prison looks to create a 500-person human centipede as a solution to his problems. God. How that's going to help his problems, I have no idea. But there you go.
Hey, well, that'll keep those inmates in line.
Literally. <Yeah.
laughs> Literally, but it's literally ass to mouth. Just.
Wow. We also got a couple on video on demand. Both of these come out on October 23rd. The first is Meadowland. In the hazy aftermath of an unimaginable loss, Sarah and Phil come unhinged, recklessly ignoring the repercussions. Phil starts to lose sight of his morals. Sarah takes off on a potentially disastrous journey, falling deeper into her own fever dream. And then the one that I know Aaron's going to be checking out is Bone Tomahawk. Just because of Kurt Russell. Do I even need to give a synopsis, or are we just...
I will tell you, tell you the truth. I wanted to see this movie before Kurt Russell was cast. I just like the idea, so continue.
Well, it is a Western, so I can see that too. Four men set out in the Wild West to rescue a group of captives from cannibalistic cave dwellers. That sounds right up your alley, actually. Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to see it. Man, then you throw Kurt Russell in it, now it's fantastic.
And it's got probably the coolest title this year so far.
Yeah, was Jeff Bridges like unavailable?
He looks just like him, doesn't he?
He does.
Kurt Russell as Rooster Cogburn. Yep. All right, Scotty, we got a game, right? Don't you have a game you want to play with us?
We do, if you guys are up for it. You want me to explain it? Are you going to explain it?
No, you're going to explain it. Your game.
All right. This is a game. It's not a new concept by any means, but it's one that we haven't done, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to do with you guys.
Dutch Rubber.
Basically, it's going to be a movie title synonym game. I'm going to give you a title of a movie, but instead of it being the actual title, I'm going to replace the words with words that mean the same thing. And there's three of you, so whoever says the correct title of the movie first earns a point. First one to get to 3 points first. Wow, first one to get to first 3 points first. First one to get to 3 points wins.
Got it. Okay.
Got it?
Got it. It's
pretty self-explanatory.
Yep. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Justin, we've got Aaron, and we've got Brian. First to three wins.
The three people that's been here the whole time.
All right. The first title is Expedition Inconceivable.
Mission Impossible.
Aaron got it.
All right.
Yeah. Next one, A Prime 24 Hours.
A good day? Perfect day.
A fine day?
More specific. What was that?
A fine day?
Ooh. Real close.
One fine day?
There you go.
Oh, son of a bitch. I had the movie title wrong. Crap.
Celestial Journey.
Star Trek.
Brian got it.
Oh. Fire.
Ooh,
fire.
Suck on that, Justin.
Next one. Combat Vessel.
Battleship.
All right.
Justin's favorite movie.
Good one. Yeah. Good
one. More for Justin.
What a turd.
All right, Justin now has two. He only needs one to win this week.
Okay.
Next up is The Swift and the Irate.
Fast and the Furious.
Aaron got that one.
I got that one. Suck it,
hey,
bitch.
Hey, he started, but I finished first.
I don't care. I started first.
Well, we don't have buzzers. It doesn't really work here. So.
Got it.
All right. So Justin has two. Aaron has two. Brian's behind by one, but still anybody's game. Next one is No State for Aged Mankind.
No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men.
Aaron got it.
What?
Oh, whatever. What? Biased.
What? You're biased. Whatever. Brian's like, I wish I had better internet. God damn it, that delay.
Exactly. Damn lag.
Oh, that was fun.
Congratulations, Aaron. You are the wiener.
That was fun. There we go. That was a fun game. We'll do that again sometime. Nice job. Right. Yeah. All right. Now, just so full disclosure, we tried that once before and it just did not go smooth. So
this was much better.
Much better. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Glad you guys liked it.
A lot of fun. Oh. Okay. I mean, I feel bad for Brian because obviously he shouldn't play it. I mean,
obviously.
Yeah. I mean, this is why slow kids don't get to go outside, Brian. All right.
I wondered why my bus was always so short.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Aaron, you know better. I'm just saying. Remember, I've proved this many
times.
This
is true. We used to play, what was that game? Seen It? No, it was.
Seen It. Yeah. Seen It, wasn't it?
Seen It on Xbox, and he
would
kick my ass.
Yeah, the lag on that game is BS, too.
Yeah, but he would kick my ass like there's nobody's business. Just. All right. Remember to like us on Facebook. And we do have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movies and movie and TV fans. Please just sign up and you can have a lot of fun with a lot of our listeners. Have a lot of great conversations talking about a lot of movie and TV stuff. It's a lot of fun. Just look for the Hollywood Outsider on Facebook. If you review us on iTunes, we will read your review on the show. Reviews on the iTunes really help. So if you're using the iTunes app, I think you can review right in the app. I don't have it, but because I'm a Droid user. But otherwise, just run to your computer and do it. It's really quick. It doesn't take you long. We got some emails. Justin, you got the first one.
Steve Peterson says, Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies series of all time. I was a bit young for the first one, but the second was the first movie I chose on my own to see in the theater and pretty much ignited my love for movies. This is my one sacred film that I will riot if it ever gets remade. I'm not sure what's so special about it, but it's just such a brilliant series. It's funny and dramatic and clever, and at the time was really original. There's a ton of plot holes, and some of it is really dated now, but it's still just a blast, and it's such fun to watch now since there's so many hints and little bits of foreshadowing. He also says, I'd like more VOD reviews. Most big movies I hear about see a trailer and know if I want to go to the theater or wait for Netflix, but a lot of VOD stuff passes me by. Always looking for new stuff, so keep up with the obscure stuff versus big budget. Yeah, we should probably do that, because I watched this weekend a movie called The Diabolical, starring Ali Larter. It's a film that's, you know, supposed to be out in theater soon, but it's also on iTunes. And so I did watch that, and I suppose I could have reviewed it if I'd let Aaron know ahead of time. So maybe next week I'll review that one. But
well, do you ever let me know ahead of time? Basically, it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I saw that. Like, Justin, we're recording.
Oh. That's my usual motif.
Yep. Brian?
All righty. This is from Andrew Jeeves. He says, a ghost movie I forgot to mention that I thought was good was the 1946 classic, The Time of Their Lives, starring Abbott and Costello. A topic to talk about are either what is your favorite / least favorite Abbott and Costello movie, or what is the best worst comedy pairing on TV and movie of all time. For me, the best would be Abbott and Costello. Worst would be, actually, I can't think of one off the top of my head. He says, Brian and Aaron, I know you guys were trying to be funny about your comments on Canada. I just want to say, as a Canadian, I found it funny too. But at first listen, I was slightly offended. But after listening to it a second time, I'm now satisfied you guys were trying to be funny. Carry on, my wayward hoes, your Canadian listener, Andrew Jeeves.
Oh, he's got a little Kansas reference there too.
Hell yeah. Hey.
P.S. In the words of the late Peter Falk, or Peter Falk's character, Lieutenant Columbo, just one more thing. I hope the Cubs advance to the World Series to face my Toronto Blue Jays, and as much as I would want the Cubs to win it to prove Back to the Future 2 correct, as a Canadian, I support the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, they're down 3-0 right now, so that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, it's probably
they're down only 3-2.
And I want to say I'm personally sorry for slightly offending you. I prefer to completely offend somebody.
Exactly.
So if I do it kind of half-ass and only slightly offend you, that's my fault. I will try much harder next time.
Agreed. If you haven't like wanted to move by the time we're done, I don't think we're really doing our job. So,
yep.
Well noted.
And I do like his idea about best and worst comedy pairings.
Okay. We'll definitely do that soon. Definitely. 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 Next week, we're doing some book stuff. So the week after, how's that?
So keep on with the flannel.
Scotty?
Yay.
We did have a lot of people write in to tell us that the Hellfire Club was actually touched on in X-Men First Class.
Yep.
Sebastian Shaw and Emma Frost and the rest of the bad guys were basically the Hellfire Club. So thanks for giving us that info there. We did also get an email from Craig Schirmerhorn. He says, okay, I'm bringing this back here. We need a segment called Spiteful Bitches. Didn't you let me do this?
Yeah, he's saying he wants...
Wasn't it just called Aaron segment?
He said he wants to bring it back. Kiss my ass.
Someone reads whatever preposterous rantings the internet thugs and hipsters are spewing about entertainment, movies not being true to the source material, Deadpool only having 88 stitches on his mask instead of the official 91 stitches that the great-grandmother of the original Deadpool artist asked for on her deathbed before he went off Hogwarts or whatever. Should be entertainment and must resonate spiteful bitchiness. And hipsterific self-loathing and Jerry Springer-ish, all the fat girl but really sad and lonely bravado with a dash of keyboard courage and obscure references that they won't even bring up because you wouldn't get it.
My head just hurt.
I know, I'm still kind of wandering through that.
It was from a foreign film that is very obscure and only had a hand-selected audience from the director who they met in art school. Should be plenty of fodder for us to send in and help with, and you guys pick one and give your thoughts each week and the best comeback or response you read. Could be a Facebook comment, YouTube, something tweeted out, said on TMZ, etc. I think we can make it happen, and it seems oh so perfect for this show. Some of them may even end up being our posts or something said on a previous Ho episode. Sky's the limit. Should be emailed to the Ho team, not posted on Facebook, or it loses the surprise. Thoughts?
Agreed. Yeah, I said that segment a couple weeks ago, so obviously I like it.
I actually have one for Spiteful Bitches this week.
Oh, well, let her rip, Scott. We got a couple minutes.
It's one you posted, so it's not... but that whole garbage about people boycotting Star Wars because it's like anti-white people.
Oh, my God. Some dips just started that just to piss off the internet. And it's just like, man, why you always got to ruin everybody's joy? Just let them enjoy it. I'm not as excited as everybody else, but I love to see so many people excited about it. I think anytime a movie gets that kind of excitement, that's fantastic. I just, I love it. Just love it. Idiots. Stupid idiots. Spiteful bitches already. Definitely. Last one. Robert John Davenport. Pan's Labyrinth in the theater gave me one of my favorite movie experiences. I'm a slow reader. And when it comes to watching movies with subtitles, I tend to pass because I can't see the movies and I read the words at the same time. That year, my trendy-ass friends made me see a lot of anime and movies from Japan and China. They are a-holes. And I remember crap about any of those movies. Anyhow, that year we go to see Pan's Labyrinth. We sit down, and they say to me, "Don't worry, this won't be subtitled like those other movies." They make with the Spanish, and I start cackling like a madman. Look over at my friends, remind them that I am from the Republic of Panama, and I got this. And they were a little pissed that I didn't have to read the movie. It's a fun story. And everybody should see that movie too.
Yeah, it was such a good surprise for me. Not what I was expecting at all. So good.
Very good. All right. No outtakes this week. If you listen to the episode, a lot of them are just left in. So there you go. Enjoy. Because I just don't have time. Sorry, guys. But thehollywoodoutsider.com, you can go to the website, tweet us at @H_outsider, facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes or your Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you listen there, or just throw us in your podcast app of choice. It's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. I want to thank Justin, Brian, and Scott. Is there anything you want to plug? Justin, your website. Didn't you just update your website?
Yeah, after about a year and a half of having a broken website, I finally have a new one made. One of the listeners to the my other podcast offered to make me a new website at a reduced cost. Because when you have a professional make one, man, the prices can really get up there. But he did a great job. And one of my favorite aspects of it is that there's actually a shop button. So if you know, there are links to the books and whatnot on Amazon, but if you want to buy it directly from me, maybe have me sign it or do whatever, you can do that. I'm still setting that up. So there's only one book on it right now, but I will get them all put up there. But I'm really happy to have the site working again. I think it looks great mobile and on a regular desktop browser. And hopefully I'll also be more active in posting to it.
Brian, you got anything you want to plug?
Nah, I'm good.
How about Pet Sematary? You could plug that.
Yeah, Stephen King called yet?
Nope, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, that was a lot of fun though. We did have, in all honesty, a lot of fun making that episode where we recast Pet Sematary.
Remade
Pet Sematary. Not a complete, I guess. We tiptoed a lot around the original material, but we definitely made it our own, and we had a lot of fun doing it. So,
yeah,
check it out.
To remake this movie right, remember, it's on its own feed. I still have people asking me if it's, why isn't it on the Hollywood Outsider? See, it's completely on its own. So you have to actually go subscribe in iTunes or your podcast app. It's Remake This Movie Right. Pet Sematary episode was really, really fun, I think. And the next one that I'm going to just segue to my plug is Friday the 13th is going to be the next one coming out for Remake This Movie Right. And it is really fun. Just ridiculously fun. It might be one of the most fun I've ever had doing a podcast. And some people will know why and some people won't. And I don't want to tell them. So it's fantastic. I had a great time. Oh, and there's an interview with Woodlawn actor Kevin Sizemore. Thanks to Troy Heinrichs, who I did the Blacklist Exposed with. If you're a Blacklist fan, definitely check that podcast out. But he hooked me up with an interview with Woodlawn actor Kevin Sizemore. He's a working actor. He's been working for 20 years. He was in Transformers. He's been in Prison Break, 24, Under the Dome, Resurrection. He's been in a ton of stuff. And he talked about Woodlawn and faith-based cinema. There's a lot of stuff he talked about. It's really interesting. Definitely check it out. Scotty?
As always, I have the Gaming Outsider going, and if you're interested in video games, check that out. This is the fall season, which is basically the summer blockbuster season for video games, so lots of good stuff coming up. Actually, we were also given review copies of some horror games, so if you like horror movies and might want to get into horror games, we're going to be doing an episode upcoming where we're going to be reviewing those games, and we also recently talked about our favorite horror games, so be sure to check those out as well.
And I want to let everybody know that he's saying horror. He says it really close together. It does sound like horror.
Horror games.
Because if you got horror games, I will check that episode out. I will watch it. I will listen to it. I will play the game with you if you like.
Woo.
Yeah. I like some fun stuff, man.
It could be messy.
It's a co-op game.
It is a co-op. Oh, that's why. All right. Remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
Four player?
buy popcorn. You idiot.